of love this. These verses are my dad's favorite verses in the Bible. We've always had these around our home when I was a kid. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I've preached out of these verses before. It'll be a little different today. But I love this passage. And if you'll, when you find yourself down a little bit, 1 Peter 5 is a great place to go and look, especially verses 6 and 7. I had the ladies sing that song, He Carried Me, on purpose. I had them sing that. I didn't have to ask him to get up this morning. Scott had already asked him. But our youth revival coming up here in a few weeks, the theme of it is Bring It All to Him. And Leonard Fletcher over in Mountain City, Tennessee, wrote a song called Bring It All to Him. And they're going to be singing that. It's a beautiful song. I can't wait for you to hear it. But I want to deal with that today. Bring it all to Him. And I want you to, everybody, God knows who's here today. God knows what you could have been doing and what you are doing. And I do commend you for being here in the house of God where you're supposed to be, where you belong on the Lord's Day. I appreciate you being here. But you may have something that God's dealing with you about or that's bothering you that God can help you with. And I want to encourage you along those lines today. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God on this Sunday. Lord, I thank you for the sunshine outside, and I thank you, Lord, for all of our church family and our friends here today. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us through and by the Word of God. Give us a good handle on this, and give us what you'd have for this hour. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to remember who is writing this, okay? We know the Spirit of God, God dealt with 40 men that wrote the Bible, 40 men, 40 authors that penned the Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. There's 40 of them. And Peter had the privilege of penning two of those books, okay? And 1 Peter is one of those. And so this is coming from a man named Peter, and he's a servant of God. He's probably in his mid-60s. And he walked with the Lord Jesus Christ in his 30s, and he was a perfect man, right? Anybody? Peter, perfect guy? No, he was. He had some real humdingers, didn't he? Anybody ever had a humdinger? I don't even know. I better look that up. I'm not even really sure what that is. I know that when you do something really, really dumb, and call it a humdinger. And Peter did some of those things. I mean, Peter tried to chop a man's head off one time. Missed and got his ear. Peter is the one that denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Denied him three times. And God could have killed him for it. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ with profanity. And God could have struck him dead. And then less than a few weeks later, he's preaching in front of 5,000 people, and every one of them got saved in less than 10 minutes. What does all that mean? A lot of times the devil will come after you, and he'll get around you on every side of you, and it don't matter which way you look. And I've been dealing with this some on Wednesday nights. He'll get around you, and he'll try his best to stop you, okay? And there was many of you were not here Wednesday night. I dealt with this in detail on Wednesday night. But when you think about the phrase, bring it all to him, look at verse 7 again. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is Peter in his older age looking back and it bothering him how many times he goofed. This is the man that is the only human being in history outside of Jesus Christ that walked on water and could have made a big, huge victory out of that. Peter could have had a huge victory out of walking on the water, and he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus and beginning to sink, cried, Lord, save me, found himself in trouble. And so many times, Peter found himself in a mess, in a trouble that, and here's the question, here's my question for you today. Was Peter looking for trouble? Peter was never looking for trouble. Peter had an honest heart. He's trying his best to serve God the best he knew how, trying his best to follow his Jesus the best he knew how, and yet so many times he found himself in a heap of trouble that he had to get out of. So he said in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So in verse 6, I want you to notice the humbling of the saint. Humble yourselves. Listen, it's much better for you to humble yourself than it is for God to humble you. He said, humble yourselves. Now, if you don't humble yourself, God will take the privilege of humbling you, a child of God. And I can show you that all throughout the Scripture. We could go around the room today and we could testify as to the times that you thought you were something and God showed you just how much of a not something you really were and really are. So self-humility, humbling yourself. Now, I'm not talking about self, you know, beating yourself, kicking yourself. And I said this Wednesday night too, and I want you to get a hold of this. The devil will torment you over things that God has already forgiven you for. And I know that. But at the same time, so many people, listen now, and I'm being a pastor here for a minute. Just listen. There's so many times that you don't feel like it's necessary to be very Christian. We get that way. We get so busy with life and we think, well, I'll get around to church if that's something that I have enough time for. If that's something that I have enough of my week left for, I'll squeeze church in wherever I can find a hole to put it in. You know how offensive that is to the Spirit of God? How offensive it is for God to have made a way for Him to have sacrificed His only begotten Son, for Him to have sent Jesus Christ to shed His blood for a bunch of people that didn't deserve it, only for them to turn around and look at God in the face and say, well, you know, maybe. If I have time, I'll get around to it. Maybe if I don't have anything else to do, I'll find some time for God. And then along the way, listen now, along the way, you'll find yourself in a place where you need God. Now, either way, we need God. I mean, whether He puts you there or you put yourself there, either way, we need God. Either way. But it's much more comfortable. I say comfortable. It's much more, it's much better off for you if you'll put yourself in the place of needing Him rather than God putting you in a place of needing Him. Because when God comes through and knocks you flat on your back or not, and gets you in a place where you say, okay, I need you, Lord, now, you have already experienced a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of grief, a whole lot of agony, a whole lot of things that you would not have had to experience if you'd have just humbled yourself. And that right there, when people in God's house start humbling themselves, it gets the attention of God. Revival sets in, people start getting saved, great things happen, but it's got to start with humility. It must start with self-humility. I tell you what happens when God has to send humility, the next thing that happens is repentance. And you're climbing out of your sin. If you'll take care of all that ahead of time, you stay repented, stay confessed, stay in the place where you've got a good fellowship with God, and humble yourself. All right, so then we see the humbling of the saint. Then we see the hand of God. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And what does that tell you? That tells you that either way, God has a way to humble us. Either way. Now, the mighty hand of God can knock you down. I mean, and you say, well, God's a God of love. Yes, He is. He is a God of love. But there are too many times in my life, and I've served God my entire adult life, that there have been times in my life where God literally came, and I know it. I know He put me down in my place where I need to be. God knocked me flat off my feet. And those of you here that have lived for the Lord for any period of time, and you've gotten in and out, you know, the Lord come by and He'll smack you down. He will. And there you can't defend yourself against that. No way. A mighty hand of God. So here's what you do. You go under that mighty hand. You humble yourself under that, and you won't have to worry about God slapping you around. You go to God and you say, Lord, I know I'm unworthy. Lord, I know I'm not where I need to be. Lord, you get open with God and you get honest with God. And He won't have to knock you down because you've humbled yourself. Okay? That's the humbling of the saint in the hand of God. But then we see the help from above. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He, what's this next little word? May. That He may. Whoa, you say that's not an important word in the Bible. Yes, it is. God does not have, or God will not, exalt you until you've humbled yourself first. And I don't want to use the word ability because we know that God can do anything, but in honesty, God takes away His own ability to lift you up until you first humbled yourself. He said that He may exalt you in due time. Well, I'm tired of being humble. I'm tired of being down. I'm tired of being in this place in my life. I want God to bring me out of it. I want God to lift me up. I want God to raise me up. Well, He will in due time if you'll not rebel. He will in due time if you will refuse sin in your life. He will in due time if you'll do it the way He says to do it, which is self-humility. You don't want God to slap you down and then you have to repent and get your life fixed and straightened up so that God can start all over again. He will, and that's a wonderful place to be, and that's a completely different message to preach. But if you'll humble yourself ahead of time, God will not have to humble you. He can help you. Now that's verse 6. Now I want you to look at verse 7. I want you to notice four things here in verse number 7. Casting all your care upon Him. First thing I want you to notice is carrying the burden. Carrying this burden. He said, casting all your care upon Him for He careth for you. So there's no doubt everybody in here today is carrying something. Everybody. And if you'll think about it for 1 minute, you'll know what it is. You're carrying something. You've got something. It's got you down. It is wearing you down. It is dragging you down. It is holding you down. You've got something. It may be sin. It may not be sin. It may be whatever. I made a little list of things, and this is going to be very different, but I've made a little list of things here that just I had off the top of my mind, and you may have more things than this, but I'm going to throw these at you and see if this applies to anybody, okay? All right, the first one is pain. I'm going to write this word pain down on this big white piece of paper here. Now, just bear with me. Pain. Some of y'all are hurting right now. I'm talking about physically. You are hurting right now, and you really honestly don't feel like you can do anything because you're hurting so bad. Pain. You are in pain, and you don't know what to do with that pain, and that pain may not go away till the Lord comes. It may not go away till the Lord comes. But you know we need help. And if you're in pain, you need help. And the best way to get it is to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you can get help with your pain. All right? The second thing I wrote down here was grief. All right, I'm going to put the word grief on this big white piece of paper here, grief. Some of y'all are so upset over things right now that have messed with your mind and tormented you. You're under so much grief over some big catastrophe that's taking place that you just don't even feel like you can take another step. You don't feel like you can make another move. You're under grief. You're loaded down with that. All right, the third thing we had here was rejection. Rejection. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I bet there's some of you here today that have felt or are feeling rejection. Or you wanted to belong to something, you wanted to be a part of something, but you're not feeling like you belong or like you're a part. You feel rejected. Now, rejection comes from two things. Number one, it comes from legitimate circumstances. You may feel rejection today because you're being rejected. But then a lot of times, even most times, the feeling of rejection comes from the lies of the devil. And he'll tell you that you don't belong. He'll tell you that you don't fit in. He'll tell you that you need to go somewhere and do something else. When in reality, rejection is oftentimes just a fake thing the devil will plant in your mind to get you down. Rejection. Loneliness. Now, I won't go around the room and ask, but you're in a crowd of 100 people today, and there's people all around you. I'm here, God's here, and there's some of you here today that feel like you're in a dark, cold dungeon by yourself in the Arctic somewhere. You feel loneliness. Nobody understands. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody shakes your hand. Nobody responds to you the way you feel like they need to. Nobody's jumping into your life like you see your other friends getting help and you see your other family getting help and you're not getting any. You're feeling lonely. Then we have failure. Wow, if we went around the room today and talked about failure, wonder how many people today are so beat down with life because you are carrying a burden of failure. Something in your life has failed so bad that you can't even... Hey, what about Peter's the one that wrote this? If anybody could have said, I'm a failure, I'm giving up, I'm quitting, it would have been Peter. If anybody could have said that, it would have been Peter. If anybody could have said, God's done with me, He's through with me, I've failed, it could have been Peter. Failure. Financial strain. Financial strain. Do you know God is very intelligent with how He handles things? And He knows exactly what your condition is right now. He knows exactly what you need and when you need it. And David said, I was young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If you're here today and you're suffering from financial strain, that did you know that there is nothing, nothing that God cannot handle? Nothing. Nothing. Financial strain. Marriage problems. You know, I write this down here, and that seems just like such a superficial phrase, marriage problems. Marriage trouble, marriage strain, marriage anxiety, whatever you want to call it. You've got difficulty with your spouse. Things ain't working. It's not Romeo and Juliet like it was however long ago you got married. It's not whatever it used to be. And there's strain, there's stress from your marriage. And you're just walking around all the time wondering when the next explosion is going to be, wondering when the next crack is going to be found, wondering when the next problem is going to get dug up and smacked in your face, wondering when the next time your spouse is going to do something to you to make you feel like garbage again. Marriage problems. Then I saw here, as I was thinking, astray children. I write this down. Let me tell you something. I don't know of anything. I've watched a lot of hurting people. I don't know of anything that will burden down an older saint of God than children that are not right with God. We go around the room today, some of the older ones that are 10, 15 years older than me, and talk to you about your children that are grown and gone out of the house now, and their condition, and where they are, and where they need to be, and where you hope they arrive to, and they're astray, and you are burdened down under that. It is not your job to carry that load. It's not. It's God's job to carry it. Now, you carry it with Him. But so many of us here today, rather than going to God on our knees and sharing the burden, we carry it around all day and all night on our own. We wake up in the middle of the night with it on our mind. We get up the next day with it on our mind. We wonder where they are and what they're doing and when they're coming back. And I don't have any astray children right now, but I've got family members that are scattered to and fro. And I know they need to get right with God. And that is such a heavy load. And you can carry that around if you want to. You can carry it around on your back and just stay. And this is not the humbling of verse number 6. This is absolute despair. You can't get anything accomplished. Astray children, what about hatred? Well, I don't hate anybody. Well, think about it. You may be under a burden right now and you don't know what it is. And you think about it long enough, you realize that you are so angry at somebody. You are so upset over something that happened, and that hatred has built up inside of you. I also thought about bitterness. Bitterness is what happens when you don't get rid of hatred. The hatred that you have in your heart towards somebody doesn't go away, and it just festers and it turns into bitterness. Some of you today are carrying around a load of bitterness. Then I see confusion. Maybe you're here today and you don't understand why things are happening in your life the way they are. You've got confusion in your mind, confusion in your heart, confusion in your soul, and nothing's making sense. Nothing's working out like you thought it would, and your mind is just in chaos and in turmoil over confusion. Then we see doubt. Doubt takes place. So many of you here today are in doubt. You don't know if God is still there. You don't know if you're still here. You don't know if God actually saved you. You don't know if you're cumbered down and loaded down with doubt. There's so many people that give me their born-again story when they got born again. And just like I did, for years they doubt. You know why? Because the devil's trying to get you down. Sickness. Sickness. You don't know when God's going to take that away from you, if He ever is going to take it away from you. You don't know if He's ever going to heal you from it. You're just so burdened down with sickness. Then we see distrust. Somebody has done you wrong. And you can't trust anybody. It's amazing how that one person can do you wrong and you lose your confidence in everybody that you know. If we went around the room today and asked you, there'd be many of you here today that would look at me and say, I don't trust anybody anymore. Or I trust two people, or I trust one person, but I don't trust anybody anymore. Distrust. Do you know that distrust is one of the biggest burdens that a Christian can carry? Then the last one I wrote down was sin. Now all of these things, if they're not dealt with, become sin. But David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if you're carrying today a burden of sin around, you've done something that you've not confessed and that you're not working on to get fixed and straightened out in your life, you're carrying that burden of sin around, then you are carrying a load that is completely unnecessary for you to carry. Now I wrote all these down because I'm going to do something with them here in just a minute. So I want you to listen to the rest of this and we'll close. Carrying the burden. Number two, casting the burden. Okay, he said in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When it comes to casting these burdens, the first thing you got to do is you got to aim it right. So many of you today are carrying a burden, and it causes you to cast the burden at the wrong target. Amen. Somebody comes around you, and they say, well, hello there, brother, how are you? And you bite their head off. You know what you're doing? You're sloshing your burden around on them. That all they said was hello. None of y'all have never experienced that, have you? You walk up to somebody, you're like, well, hello, sister. Have you had a good week? That ain't none of your business. Or whatever. You know what they're doing? They've got a load they're carrying, and they're just smacking you with it. When you cast your care, you've got to aim it in the right direction. And the God of heaven is prepared to handle it. You've got to aim it. Then you've got to cast it. It actually takes grabbing a hold of it and throwing it. Now, it's interesting here. I didn't say, lay your burdens on the Lord. It doesn't even say, roll them on the Lord. What does it say? Casting them. Casting them. It's where you finally get to the spot where you say, enough! I'm done with it. And you take it, and with everything you've got left in you, you throw it. Now, what if it don't go far enough? It'll go far enough. Because number three, we see you have to let it go. So many people, today's the day. I'm going to cast my burden. I'm going to cast my care on the Lord. And you get a hold of that thing, and you get ready to throw it. And you think, no. And you just put it back on. And I don't think it's time to throw it now. You say, well, that don't ever happen to me. Are you carrying a burden for more than one day? If you are, you haven't cast it. You may have put it in your hands and went to cast it, or you may have thrown it and grabbed it back. But if you're still carrying that, you've not cast it. Let it go. Then you got to leave it. So you throw it, God will catch it, and you walk away from it. Now here's the old devil. He comes in the next few verses, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's in the same context of these burdens. So the way that the devil will devour you, listen now, oh God help us. The way the devil will devour you as a roaring lion, he will come up in your ear and he will scream at you with the vocal cords of the lake of fire, reminding you about that thing you just threw at God. That burden that you just cast to God for him to carry, the devil will come around and he said, yeah, you did this. You're a big goof. You're a big failure. You are worthless. You are nothing. You are a nobody. And he will remind you every waking moment about that burden that you just got rid of. And when the devil does that, you know what our tendency is? Well, we don't want that burden to be all by itself. The devil just reminded us about how lonely that burden is. So we're just going to go get it and we're going to carry it some more. And we go into the throne room, we pick it back up and we say, Lord, I'll take this back. And we set it on our shoulders and we keep walking. You may be here today and some of y'all won't get it, but some of y'all need to get it. You've got something you're toting around and you need to bring it to the Lord in one of these altars and just kneel down. And for a few minutes, you need to just cast it to God. And this can be your spot. That's what the altar's for. This, and what happens to stuff that gets put on the altar? What happens in the Old Testament when they had an altar? When you threw something on the altar, what happened to it? Burn up. You never get it back. It stays there. Nobody can go back to the altar and say, I'd like to get that turtle dove I just brought last Tuesday. I'd like to get that thing and take it home with me. It's gone. You bring that to the Lord, and when the devil reminds you tomorrow about the burden you brought to the altar today, you say, oh devil, what does the Bible say to do with the devil? Submit yourself therefore to God. What's the next word? Resist! You say, no devil, I put that burden on the altar. And wherever you bring it today, nobody may not even come. I don't know. But when I give the altar call, if you got a burden, bring it. Bring it, put it, in your mind. Cast it on the altar while you're praying. Leave it there. And when you leave out of here, this is your spot. You've cast that there. And you know what God's going to do with that thing? Whatever in His great and mighty infinite wisdom determines needs to be done with it. One of the reasons that so many people cannot get their burdens fixed is because we're not the fixers. We're carrying them. We can't fix it. We cast it on the Lord, and guess what He can do? He can fix it. In His infinite wisdom, what does the end of verse 6 say? That He may exalt you, what's the last three words? In due time. And you're not carrying it anymore. Lay it down. Get away from it. Casting the burden. Then we see the catching of the burden. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The life of Christ shows us that He understands. He lived a life so that He could understand the burdens that we're living, that we're carrying. His death represents that He paid the price so that all those burdens could be carried away. The resurrection of Christ shows us that He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And any time that you are under the burden or the load of a care in your life, you're doing so when God is able to take it away. The coming of Christ shows us that we have hope, catching this burden. Now, what's interesting about it is that sometimes the Lord will allow us to carry it with Him. There are some burdens that are carried with God, and you don't have the load on you. He's carrying it. He may not fix it right then. He may not make it go away right then. He may not burn it up right then. He may let it lay on the altar for a little while. And if it does, just stay with Him. He'll handle it. Hey, some of y'all ain't getting no help, but I'm getting some help. He may not take it away right then. He may not incinerate it right then. But He'll put the heavy part of it on His shoulder. The weight of it, you cannot share weight with God. When that thing's propped up on Him, that's okay. It'll be all right. You may be under the other side of it, but you're not having to pull it. You're not having to tote it. You're not having to worry about the weight because God's got it under control and He can handle it. But you're here today and you want to keep edging that thing back over on you. Now the wonderful times is when you cast that on the Lord and He blows it up. And that's happened so many times in my life, and I just want to thank God for the times that He just incinerates them right there on the spot. But then sometimes He says, wait a minute. Listen now. Wait a minute. The only way I can keep you close to me is if you've got something on your back. So I'm going to let you have half of this. And I'll take the other half. And if you'll walk right with me, you won't feel a thing. If you haven't handled that load on your own, it's because you've gotten away from God. You're not walking close to Him like you should. And all the weight of that burden's on you. But if you'll pray and fast and seek God's face, He'll take the other half of that thing and you won't feel any of the load at all. Catching the burden. Lastly, caring for our burden. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Isaiah 53:6, I had this verse on my mind this morning. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's not anybody in here that at some point in your life you have wandered a little bit. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Okay? Which means we have turned at times, all of us, everyone, unto his own way. So there's times that I say, Lord, I'm going to do my thing. And when you're doing your thing, the word here says it's turning. So you've been walking with God, walking with God, walking with God. And I'm going to do my thing. And you turn. And he's still going that way. And you're going this way. And guess who's carrying the load now? I just took it back on me. I just took it back on me. Lord, I'm casting the burden on you as I'm running toward you. I'm casting my care upon you. And if you'll carry it, I'll be right here. And if we got to carry it together, I'll be right here either way. God, I'm casting it on you. But then so many turn. And the Bible says the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He carries the sin. He carried, but so many of us want to take our past. It's on Christ. It's on the cross. It's dealt with. But so many of us take our past and our problems and we just say, Lord, I want to hang on to that. Now, here we're back to our papers here. Sin. Don't get nervous. I'll make my boys clean it up. Cast it. I don't want you to forget this. Distrust. Bring it to the altar. Give it to God. Sickness. He may not take it away, but I'm telling you, I'd rather be sick with God than sick without God. Doubt. I got 15 of these. And you may have one that I don't even mention. Confusion. Now, wait a minute. I'm here. I'm going toward God. I'm casting it on Him, for He careth for me. And guess what? Do I have it on me anymore? I've given it to Him. It's up to Him what He does with it. And the Bible's very clear that He will not put on us more than we can handle, but will with the temptation make a way for us to escape. Amen. That we may be able to bear it. Right now you can't bear the bitterness. You can't bear the hatred. You can't bear the children going astray. You can't bear the marriage problems. It's driving you crazy. You can't bear the financial strain. You can't bear the failure. You can't bear the loneliness. It's too deep. It's too dark. You can't bear the rejection. You can't bear it. The grief and the pain. You can't bear it. But if you'll bring it and leave it, walk away. It'll be up to God with what happens to it after that. And whatever that is will be good.